the two doors. They're busy. A lot has, we're doing the Crazy Love study, and I pre-read the book, and I was in a little bit of a turmoil whether to use it or not, because he makes a couple of statements in the book that I just totally disagree with. But I felt like that the overall message of the book is something where we need to be challenged. That I thought, okay, we can do the book and I can go back and teach about what I don't agree with what he said. He makes a couple statements in the book that I just totally disagree with. And those statements have to do with God may take your life at any time. Folks, I don't believe that. I absolutely do not believe that. So I wanted to go back and he made another couple of statements in there, but overall the book is a fantastic book. That's why we chose to study it, because it challenges us in our lukewarmness. It talks about offering leftovers to a holy God, how that God doesn't want part of our life, He wants our life. And this is a very challenging book, and one that we can benefit greatly from, but we just kind of have to, as Brother Hagin used to say when I was in Bible school, says sometimes you have to eat the hay and spit the sticks. So today may be one of those messages where we're spitting sticks, but we're not going to throw out the baby with the dirty bathwater, things that we might disagree with that somebody might say. Anytime you go to a meeting or you hear somebody, you're always going to hear things that maybe you don't agree with. And that doesn't mean that you just disregard everything they say because you disagree with one or two things that they say. Now, there's some folks, if they're saying a bunch of stuff that you disagree with, obviously you're not going to expose yourself to that. But we're going to talk about the two doors today. And we're going to talk about sickness, disease. We're going to talk about long life. We're going to talk about tragedy. And we're going to ask the question, where does this stuff come from? There are some theological systems that teach this. Here's the premise of one. If I'm sitting on this stool and this leg gives way and I fall and break my leg, it's because God designed it that way. And it was what was supposed to happen. And you hear people say this all the time. Well, whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. That causes a lot of problems with some thinking. And I just want to honestly say to you, there's some people have been turned off because they have been told that God did certain things. I've told this story 100 times. I've been here 28 years, so over 28 years I've told it over and over and over and over. But it's my story. It's something that I experienced, so I have to use that. You tell me a story and I'll tell your story. But in the early days of our church, we had a young boy. He was one of my boys' age. I think he was Kevin's age. And he drowned. Tragic. And that, you're talking about something that'll shake you up. I got called to the hospital and I was walking down the hall and the room was open and I saw the kid laying there. And I don't want to describe everything that I saw, but it was hard to look at, especially when you got a kid that age, and you can imagine what goes through your mind. But this family went to two churches. They went to our church, and then they visited this other church. And sometimes that can be dangerous, going to two different churches, but we don't tell people what they do and don't do. But this preacher of the other church went to the father of this child and says, God took your son because you wouldn't serve him. I got angry. And it really turned that father off. I mean, he was away from God. And it really turned that father off to the things of God. And I understand that. I'm ringing. We're going to have some help here. So we're turn the gain down just a little bit. That'll work. Okay. So I want to approach this from a scriptural standpoint. I've seen a lot of things as a pastor. I've had to be involved in lots of death situations, in several tragic situations. In fact, just one recently, and you know about that one. And for someone to come up and say something like that to a family, that God took that child or that person or that man or your father or your mother, I think it just totally misrepresents God. I've heard preachers say that, you know, death of a baby. Well, God needed an angel in heaven. Folks, that is ridiculous. First of all, we will never be angels. We're not angels. We're not angels. Humans do not become angels. That's from It's a Wonderful Life, okay? And we're probably going to do that play next year. But it's not a theologically sound situation, okay? You don't earn your wings. You're a human. You will always be a human. Even in the next life, you will still be human. You will not be an angel. And I've heard people say, well, God needed an angel in heaven. And, you know, I've seen it on Facebook. Well, God's angel in heaven now. No. It's not angels. God didn't need an angel. First of all, God does not need anything. He's not lacking anything in heaven. And He doesn't need somebody to sing in His choir. He doesn't need. God created angels, and angels, they can take care of it. Okay? Or I've heard this other one, a little baby dies and said, well, God needed a little rosebud, and He picked the rosebud. Folks, that is so dangerous. That is so detrimental to people. First of all, it misrepresents God. And this is why I titled this today, The Two Doors. Now go with me to John 10:9, and we're going to get into this, and we're going to talk about these things. And I challenge you, maybe you believe what I've just makes me mad. Listen with an open heart. It's the Word. Look in the Word and see what the Word says. Not what people say, not what preachers say, not what tradition says, not what some theological guru says. But Jesus said in John 10:9, He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through Me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Now that word full or abundantly means exceeding some number or measure or rank or need, above and over and above, more than is necessary, super added, exceedingly, abundantly, supremely. So He didn't say, you know, I come that you might have life. And life more abundantly. He's saying, I am come that you might have life, and that's life as God has it, and that it might be more than you need. It might be abundant. It might be super. It might be overflowing. He says, this is the reason that I came. When Jesus came, mankind was a slave to sin. And all of the results of that sin that opened another door. So go with me to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at the other open door. Jesus is the door. Then we're going to see that there's another door. When God created man, He put him in the garden. Now most of you know this, but this is stuff that we need to go back and remind ourselves. You know, if we don't remind ourselves of some things, sometimes we let things slip because we hear things all the time. And we get to thinking, and we're in a circumstance and situation. The enemy will come in and drop a thought, and if we don't judge that thought, many times we can open the door to thinking that's just not scriptural. And if you think scripturally, you're going to stay on course. When you get away from scripture, guys, you start getting in trouble. Okay, you can get in trouble real fast. In Genesis 2:16, when God created man, He said to him, He put him in a garden, and he put him in there to have authority and dominion in the earth. God gave man authority and dominion in the earth. Man still has authority and dominion in the earth. People says, well, you know, God's in charge. or God's in control. Well, you better define that. I mean, if God's in control of everything, stuff is sure messed up. God put us in charge, and we goofed it up. God didn't goof up the atmosphere. God didn't goof up the earth. God didn't open the door to sin. God didn't do any of that. He put us in control, and guess what we did? Adam opened the door, okay? So that's the other open door. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You are free to eat from every tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." One translation says, "In dying you will die." Man was not created to die. Adam was not created to die. Otherwise, God would not have said to him, "If you eat this, you'll die." Because otherwise, he would not have died. He would have lived forever. Now, we are going to live forever, but God gave Adam, he didn't give him a death-doomed body. He didn't give him a mortal body. He gave him a body that he could live in forever. We're always going to live in some kind of physical body. We're not going to be spiritual beings. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And you will always be that way, okay? So, we're going to live in a physical body. We're not going to be ghosts. There's no such thing as ghost. Unless it's the Holy Ghost. Okay? There's no such thing as ghost. So, man, I'm shooting all kinds of theology. We don't become angels. You're only your daddy's angel. I doubt very seriously if you will be your spouse's angel. But you're your daddy's angel. But that's the only angel that you will ever be. Okay, I better get off of that. He says, if you eat of this, you'll surely die. And dying, you will die. In other words, what he said is, you'll die spiritually and you'll begin to die physically. Well, we know that Adam did eat and the Bible says that he died. Now, he didn't drop dead that day, but he died. He was separated from God and he died spiritually and he began to die physically. In fact, it took him a long time to die because he didn't know how to die. Now, we're steeped in death. Our society talks about death all the time. In those days, they lived a long time. People said, well, they measured time different back then. Methuselah was 969 years. I got to thinking about that. Do you know, if you just said that every 969 was months, that was 80 years. Mama, you've lived 960-something months. And you're 80 years old. She's old, see? She's old. When you're 80, you're old. And you can do anything you want to. Okay? No, they did measure time different. They lived by a different calendar. But he was old. They didn't know how to die. Death had not yet set in on them completely. They began to die. And from that time, mankind's lifespan begins shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And God finally says it'll be 100 years, 120 years. And then he said it'll be 70 years. And it could be more by reason of strength. But we began to die. Okay? So it opened the door. When it opened the door, sin opened the door to spiritual death. Spiritual death opened the door to sickness and disease. Sickness and disease does not come from God. God is not the author of sickness and disease. I've never heard of the heavenly flu, have you? I've heard about Asian. I've heard about swine. I heard about Hong Kong, but they're not mine. I've never heard of the heavenly flu, have you? There's no flu in heaven. It's amazing that we started off in a perfect world where there was no sin, there was no sickness, there's no disease, and we end up in a perfect world where there's no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, no disease, none of that. Something happened in the middle to cause all that to happen, and it wasn't God. In fact, God says, I'm going to warn you. I'm giving you dominion. I've given you a free will. I've given you the ability to choose. I'm going to tell you what to choose and I'll tell you what not to do because I've seen the end result of this and you don't need to do this, but you get to choose. And he chose the wrong thing. You know, humans are just pretty hard-headed. You know, you tell somebody, don't you do that. Have you ever told your kids, don't you go outside? And you turn your back and what do? They're out the door. That's just kind of the way we are sometimes. And so Adam sinned and he opened the door. He opened the door to all of these things. Now I'm going to show you, go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And it says this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, this one man was the door. He was the door to sin. And that man's name was what? Adam. He's the one door. Who's the other door? Jesus says, I am the gate, or I am the door. He says, I am the gate, and here's what I'm going to do. Now, if you'll read that John 10, I just read a couple of verses. It talks about him being the shepherd, and you going in and coming out, and you know he's going to fulfill you, and all of those kind of things. He didn't know, nowhere in there did he say he'll break your leg because he loves you, or he'll take your kid away from you, or he'll rob you, or he'll do any of that. He said, no, that's the thief that does that. I'm come that they might have life. They might have it overflowing abundantly, more than they need, and that they might enjoy. God has given us heaven to go to heaven in. And that's a wonderful thing. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and then it says, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all have sinned. So death came in through one man's sin, Adam, and it has infected all of us because we have sinned. And therefore, the Bible talks about when sin conceives, or when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin has conceived, it brings forth death. So when sin came in, it opened the door to death. When it opened the door to death, it opens the door to sickness and disease. Okay, can I say this too? Deformity, calamity, and anything that has to do with death and dying in this world, it entered in through Adam. It did not enter in through God. It was not His design. It was not His plan. The original intent of God was that we might have life and life abundantly. That's what Adam had. Jesus says, I'm come that they might have life. They might have it abundantly, overflowing, and exceeding. Now, this doesn't sound real spiritual. It doesn't sound real religious, and it's not. Because what the church has done, in many instances, it has developed a theology around our failures. And we'll make statements is, God may take you out tomorrow. I've heard people say, and I've heard some of you say, so I'm not looking at you. You know, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. We'll get into that in a minute. Because I want to show you some scripture. In fact, I want to show it to you now. Go with me to Psalms 91. I love Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Man, it's good stuff. But towards the end of that psalm, it says this. Now, the qualifier to this is, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Okay? This is the qualifier. Okay? You can't become a Christian and just live any way you want to and expect to have life to the fullness, overflowing and abundantly. You don't get to do it your way, we get to do it His way. His way is the best way because He sees the end result. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. We're pretty good at getting off the path. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. That's why He gave us the Word of God. To help keep us on the path. But we got to listen, don't we? But one of the things He says in Psalms 91 verse 16, He says, with long life. Everybody say long life. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Now, what kind of life is it that we should have according to Jesus? life abundantly. Abundantly. And I believe that when He gives us long life, it not only talks about longevity of life, it talks about the quality of life that we can give, that we can live. We should live good, long, healthy lives. Okay? Now, that's the door that Jesus opened. The door that Adam opened was the way of death. It was the way of sickness, disease, deformity. Why do things happen like they do? We don't understand. And we say, well, you know, God's got a purpose. Well, that's not God's purpose. Now, God can work in any situation. I'm not saying that He can't take somebody who has been... Well, we see people who have been injured and they glorify God. I understand that. We see that. But that wasn't God's design. God didn't do that person that way so He could get glory out of them. God should get glory out of us no matter where we are. No matter what state we're in. No matter what condition that we're in. God should be glorified by us. I love the logo of the Ecclesia basketball team. It's to know God and to make Him known. And that's what we're all about. To know God and to make Him known. We're to know Him and we're to reflect Him everywhere we go. And I think that has to do with the quality of life that we live. And to take His promises and to live in those promises. Amen? Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. This talks about the life of wisdom. What is in the hand, the right hand of wisdom? Long life. What's in their left hand? Riches and honor. People say, well, you know what? You shouldn't have stuff. Well, you know what? If you're a dummy, you probably shouldn't. If you're not diligent, you probably won't. But if you'll be wise, the Bible says that that opens the door to riches and honor. Riches and honor. Okay? What are riches? They're just a means to an end. They're not the crown of our life. They're just a means to an end. Okay? And the other hand is long life. Okay. Psalms 90. Verse 10. This is where God said to the people of Israel, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80, that says, okay, that we should live to be at least 70. And by reason of strength we can be 80. You can be 90. You can be 100. You could be 110. You could be 120. Most people don't live to be past 120. Okay? Now, they, in the old times, they lived to be 900, and Methuselah was 969. Okay? He was old. We don't live to be that old. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. All you kids that didn't go to class, listen to this. And all you that still have your parents, listen to this. I got my mom and dad, so I got to listen to this. Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. See, people say, well, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised long life. God could take your life at any time. But look what Ephesians says. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. We should live long, good lives. I'm making plans to live a long time. Amen. Amen. Well, we're not promised tomorrow. That says that there's a promise. Now, if you dishonor, you may shut the door on that. If you honor, if you follow wisdom, if you follow the Word, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, guess what? It says that long life should come with that. Okay, let's talk about sickness, disease, and infirmity. We already said that it was through Adam's sin that death entered. And God said, when you do that, in dying, you shall die. Dying spiritually opened the door to sickness, disease, calamity, deformity, and all of those things. Okay, I hear people say, well, you know, when the Bible talks about healing, it's talking about spiritual healing. I agree with that. But spiritual healing includes physical healing. Because sickness and disease started as a spiritual force, and it manifests itself in the physical realm. Therefore, it is spiritual in nature. It's not just physical in nature, it's spiritual in nature. Therefore, if it's dealt with in the spiritual realm, it will be dealt with in the physical realm also. So go with me to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Write it down. You may not have time to turn because I don't have time for you to wait on you. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God and smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. See, it's talking about our sins, that he was crushed for our sins and our iniquities. But it also says he took our infirmities. And what's an infirmity? It's a sickness. It's a disease. It's deformity, okay? Now, you say, well, I just believe it's spiritual, okay? If you go to Matthew 8:17, Jesus healed. And it specifically says this in verse 16, and I don't have that one written down. You just go back and read it. That they brought people to Jesus, and he healed them, and he cast out the evil spirits. And in verse 17 says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. It's a two-sided thing. When you deal with the sin, when you deal with death, you deal with sin. When you deal with sin, you deal with sickness and disease. See, the offspring of sin is sickness, disease, and all of those things. Not necessarily yours, but what came through Adam. All right. What about tragedy? Go with me to Psalms 91. We're closing down here. Psalms 91. We're going to have some time for prayer this morning, so get ready to, if you've got needs that you can receive from God today. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a beautiful picture. You know that? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I believe that is a depiction of a place in the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant is, and the angels are over the Ark and they're looking at the Ark. And it talks about he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord. How important is saying what God says? I will say of the Lord. And he's talking about saying it from the perspective of being in the secret place of the Most High and under the shadow of the Almighty. He says, I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. What is a refuge? It is a place that we can run to and be safe. There were cities of refuge in the Old Testament where criminals could run to and be saved. Listen, folks, our sin has made us a criminal. There's a place, a refuge that we can run to and we can be saved, and his name is Jesus, and he cleanses us of our sin and he protects us from our enemy. I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. This may be new territory for some of you. Let it soak. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. You ever watch the Westerns? Cowboys get behind the fort. The soldiers get in the fort to be protected from the intruders. My God, in whom I trust. In whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Does that sound like that He is the deliverer or the cause of your problem? You know where most of our problems come from? From our own ignorance. From our own actions. It's called sowing and reaping. Sometimes it's just an attack of the enemy. But it doesn't matter where it comes from. God is our answer. God is never our problem. God is always our answer. He is a place that we can run to and be safe. Say, that's Old Testament. Well, the Bible says that the New Covenant is a better covenant based on better promises. Under the New Covenant, we don't have to merit anything. It's all favor and grace and faith. Woo! It's better. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of night. Don't have to be afraid of the dark. Nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. That's your promise. That's your promise. Well, you never can tell what God's going to do. That's not what that says. Now, I'm going to believe the Bible. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to believe the Bible. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Wow. That sounds like God's our solution. That He didn't cause our problem. But Jesus says in John 10, I'm the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. Now that word saved doesn't just mean saved from your sins. Although the sin is the problem that opened the door to the rest of it, but we'll be saved from that which hurts us, that which separates us from God. It doesn't matter what that is. It is the solution to anything in our life that causes us problems, whether it be an addiction, whether it be our hurts, our past, our hang-ups, things that people have done to us. God is the place that our solution lies, and we can run to Him. Okay? He says, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and out and find pasture. That means that He is going to be our shepherd, and He is going to meet our needs, and He is going to feed us, and He's going to take care of us. Now, you've got to believe that. That doesn't just happen because He said it. Because remember Psalms 91, it says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of my... Then it says, I will say of the Lord. Now, we really believe in saying around here. People get criticized, well, it's that faith stuff, and they're confessing this. No, we're just saying what God said. It's not magic. There's nothing magic about it. It's lining your heart up with what God says. And the way that you do that is you do it with your mouth. Faith is of the heart and of the mouth. You get saved by believing something with the heart and saying it with the mouth. God's your answer, folks. He's not going to take your life. He's not going to steal from you. He's not going to rob you. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, come that they might have life, and they might have it to the superabundance. That's what's available to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You so much. Prayer team, would you come? Thank You so much today that we can have the abundant life that You promised. Thank You that You are the gate. Adam failed, but Lord, You didn't fail. You succeeded. And we thank You today for that. And Lord God, I know today You've spoken to some hearts here in this place. Some people with some hurts. Some people with some difficulties. Even some confusion. Open our hearts, Lord. flood us with your presence, that we can know that you're our solution. And Lord God, I ask you right now to minister your love and your grace. Reveal to us how much you really, really, really love us. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you got any kind of need, you may need to get right with God today. You may need to ask Jesus into your heart. You may need healing in your body. You may need anything that you need today. This area is open for prayer, so would you come at this time and allow God to minister to you? Come right ahead.